Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten.
We've always needed health care, and we are quick to complain about its cost. I hear it all the time. I can't believe how much that cost me to have that procedure done, to buy that medicine, to go to that appointment. With all this complaining, do we ever take the time to express gratitude unto God for the quality of health care and the access to health care that we have here in the United States of America? You know, in other nations like Haiti, health care is an incredible challenge. There is a lack of tools, a lack of medicine, of sanitary settings. It's humbled physicians from the United States who have traveled to Haiti to help and assist in the aftermath of natural disasters. And they're just overwhelmed by the difference in what they're able to do in that country compared to this country. So what we may do is argue in the United States about the cost and where we have to go for services, but what we really need to do is be thankful and learn to appreciate both the quality to the access to the health care that we have in the United States. It's a great, great blessing. Now, as we open our Bibles to John chapter 6, the thing that we recognize first is that there is a health care problem going on in Israel. 2,000 years ago, it was challenging in the part of the world where Jesus was serving, as we read in John's gospel. And what people were so amazed about Jesus regarding was what he could do for people who were sick. He'd perform miraculous signs and brought healing to people in Galilee and in Judea. And wherever Jesus went, he was touching lives and people were being healed. So in these opening chapters of John's gospel, we see how Jesus brought healing to someone who was an invalid. We see how he brings life back into someone who is essentially dead. And so many others are being touched by the power of our Lord, so that when we come to the sixth chapter of John's gospel, we read in verse 2 that a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. That's why they're there. Now, the tenses that are used in the second verse of John chapter 6 are important. They're in the imperfect, which means that this is continuous action going on. That's what that tense tells us. So what it says essentially is that people kept following Jesus because Jesus kept doing miracles. He was constantly doing miracles, so people were constantly following Jesus. They were at his side because he was healing people. So the impact of his traveling about Galilee is that there were a crowd of folks around him, reminding us of a concert by 21 Pilots or some group like that, you know, that just attracts thousands and thousands of people every single place they go. So what the crowd created for Jesus on that day, and the disciples as well, was a very interesting and challenging situation. In the 14th chapter of Matthew, we read that Jesus was healing. In the 6th chapter of Mark, we read that Jesus was teaching. But here in the 6th chapter of John, as this miracle is about to occur, The crowds are advancing toward Jesus, and it creates a question in the mind of Jesus for his disciples, which he addresses in verse 5 to Philip. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now we read in the 6th verse that this was a test because Jesus already knew what he wanted to do. But the question was directed at Philip. You may wonder to yourself, why out of all the disciples was he talking to Philip this way? Perhaps it's because Philip was from Bethsaida, which is the closest town around there. So he's putting on the table the issue, well, you know where Kroger is. You know where Meijer is. You're from right around here. Where do we get the bread, Philip? Now, it was a test, but it really wasn't a test of his knowledge. It was a test of Philip's desire to serve. Now, can you remember for a moment what Jesus said that we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be the light of the world. The problem with us is that sometimes we have to be turned on. Jesus didn't have that problem. Jesus is the light of the world. He never goes off. He's always touching lives and changing people. But at this moment, Philip's light is just not shining. And so we read in verse 7 his response to Jesus' question. It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Just a bite. So he's saying over 200 denarii would not be enough money to pick up the tab. This is a person who's saying to Jesus, we cannot afford to feed these people. Now, I happen to be one of those individuals who thinks it's good in ministry, it's good in the church, it's good in the family to be fiscally responsible. It's good. But when the project idea is coming from the lips of Jesus, when he's the one that's saying it, can we all agree that the Lord knows how he's going to pay for it? One of my favorite sayings is, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. He knows what he's doing, and so he's asking Philip this question. And the response is not encouraging. But according to verses 8 and 9, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. It's one of those rare times when someone spoke up ahead of Simon Peter. It was Andrew. And he said, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Now at last, our Lord has something to work with, doesn't he? The difference between Philip and Andrew is simple. It's the difference between a lot of Christians. Philip is making a declaration. Andrew is asking a question. And he's asking it of Jesus. How far will this little bit of food go among so many people? When we talk to God, we should not be constantly making declarations. We should not be constantly telling God what to do. Once in a while, when we pray, isn't it a good idea to ask God some questions? What do you want to do through me today, Lord? Because I know he's got an answer to that question. I know he wants to do something through each and every one of us on this day to touch lives. So we should leave some room in our prayer life for him to give us an answer, to ask God some questions. It's amazing what Jesus can do when people begin to step up like this little boy and Andrew. I'm thinking today of William Carey, missionary to India in the 19th century. William Carey was a shoemaker. He didn't have a college degree. But he went to India, and after he had served there for a number of years, he could speak 29 languages. He translated the Bible into so many tongues that thousands upon thousands of people came to faith in Jesus Christ. William Carey. He gave. He gave. And we can give. There are so many ways that we can give to the ministry that God has called us to. Our time, our financial resources. But it's so key to remember that when we give, that our attitude and our heart have to be right. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, that God loves a cheerful giver. The heart is the key. Now, here in this ministry at Mount Washington Baptist Church, 10% of everything that we give goes to the cause of missions. 10%. And so when I put that envelope in the offering plate every Sunday morning, I know in my heart that a fair amount of that, 10% of that, and everything else that's being gathered here today is touching lives around our city. It's touching lives around the world. It's making a difference in the lives of people. And one of the things that William Carey said, which is so memorable and something that ought to be just tattooed on the hearts of everyone in this room, is expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. So are we attempting something great? That was the question that was going on in the mind of Philip and in the mind of Andrew. How great will this day be? And so Jesus said to the disciples in verse 10, have the people sit down. Instead of telling the disciples what he planned to do, he told them to seat the crowd. Lots of grass there. They were on a need-to-know basis, and it's noteworthy that the healing has stopped. The teaching has stopped. We're going to focus on one thing now. If he was doing this miracle today, Jesus would say, put down your phone. We're just going to do this right now. This is all we're going to do. We're going to feed thousands of people. He dedicated the gifts, we read in verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Now, we're not absolutely certain what the words of Jesus' prayer were. But we do know that the prayer that was offered in an ancient Jewish home for a meal were these words. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who causes to come forth bread from the earth. Yeah, there were farmers. There were trucks that delivered it to the store. There were people that helped us buy that bread. But the bread came from God. Can we remember that today? The bread comes from God. It transforms the way we pray and the way we say thanks unto our God. Now, the account of this miracle in Matthew chapter 14 indicates that the disciples actually did the serving. They took the bread and the fish out to the multitudes. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, that as they were serving all these people, did they think back to the prayer that Jesus had taught them? The prayer that we said this morning, the words that we pray, give us this day our daily bread. You know, bread has an amazing impact on people. At the close of World War II, the Allied soldiers in Europe were gathering up hungry orphans, and they were taking them to safe places. They were in camps, and they were being very, very well fed. But what these veterans we know today discovered in those days is that these orphans could not sleep at night. They were worried. They were frightened. They did not believe that they would be eating tomorrow, even though they had eaten that day. And so there was a military psychologist who came up with a solution to this problem. And his solution was this: each child was given a piece of bread to hold while they slept. That piece of bread in their hands was a promise to them that they would have bread to eat the next day. So they went to sleep, and they slept well, with peace in their hearts, knowing that they were being taken care of. And that's God's promise to you and to me, our daily bread. Now, what we read in verse 12 of John chapter 6 is when they had all had enough to eat, that Jesus said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. Enough to eat is an important phrase in this chapter. It's an extremely important phrase. Empeplemai. They were satisfied. They were filled is what that word means. They had no more need for food because they were all filled up. It reminds us that there is nothing in this world that can satisfy us like God. Everything else will eventually leave us dissatisfied, wanting something new, something different, something more. But Jesus Christ satisfies all of our needs. Now, the miracle of feeding thousands was a sign for people to believe in Jesus. But what those disciples were next doing would be another sign. And so we read in verse 13 that they gathered and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So every disciple had a basket of bread. There was more food after they fed the multitudes than they had when they began feeding them. And this is how God works. We don't need to be afraid of giving, do we? When we give to God, whether it's Sunday morning during the offering, or whether we give to God of our time and our resources in other ways, we don't need to be afraid of giving because God will take care of us. In Ecclesiastes 11, we read, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again." And there's a parallel idea in the Proverbs where we read that one man gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Generosity, it's what opens the door for God's blessing in our lives. We may not know how far our gifts can go, but God does. As we've already said, 10% of all that we give here to the Lord goes to the cause of mission. It helps to support missionaries serving around the world. It touches the neediest of all here in Cincinnati. And God can do anything through what you give. He doesn't need us, but He chooses to use us. It's God's desire to be in a partnership with you and with me. He takes our gifts that we give unto Him and multiplies them to touch many, many lives. It's what God wants, to be in a partnership with us. Roughly 795 million people in the world are hungry, don't have enough to eat to remain healthy. And that challenge is before us every day. One of the missions that we support here at Mount Washington Baptist Church is Matthew 25 Ministries. You know, whether you volunteered a few hours in the warehouse, whether you wrote a check this year, whether you walked or ran in the 5K, brought a donation of clothing that amazing week that we had back in June where Matthew 25 said to us, "We can't believe how much clothing you gave to us." Whatever you have done, can you be reminded of this multiplication reality? So far this year, 17 million people have been helped by Matthew 25 Ministry. Is that not multiplication? That's God touching lives all throughout the world, through us. Our great God touches so many lives with our gifts when we offer them. Our God is great, but our God is greater than we'll ever know. May we pray. You do miracles, Lord, still today, when we give unto you. Bless our gifts, those who are in need. Touch lives through what we offer, great God, because we know that you can do so much more through us when we offer our lives unto you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 371, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." If you ask Colson, she lives with the Lord forever. And this, dear friends, is the implication of everything that we're thinking about today, that someone may go to heaven because of the food that you give, or the water that you give, or the clothing that you give, or the visit that you make. You see, when we serve Jesus' family, his sisters and his brothers, what we're doing is we're serving Jesus. Will we serve Jesus? Let's pray. Father, this incredible moment before us, a time of decision to serve you by serving others. It's so hard. But with your Holy Spirit, we know that we'll have the words to say. And with your power, we know that we'll have the strength to do anything, anywhere that you lead us. And so be glorified, Lord, in our lives as we commit ourselves to serving you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the privileges of being in God's kingdom is knowing that we're part of something very, very diverse. People from all over the world are praising and loving our Lord on this day. And so we know that in Christ there is no east or west. Let's stand to sing and give glory to God. If you have a need for prayer, one of our deacons or deaconesses will meet you in the front.